Good evening, everybody. Pray that everybody is doing well. Meet us in the book of Philippians in the third chapter will be the will be what we're looking at here in Philippians. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you, O God, in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, O God. We thank you, O God. We thank you first and foremost for who you are, O God. We reverence and acknowledge you as God. Father God, we thank you, O God, because you are the Most High. You're holy, you're omnipotent, you're omniscient, you're omnipresent, O God. Heavenly Father, you are faithful, you are just, you are sovereign, you are true. Heavenly Father, you are everything, and we thank you, O God, Heavenly Father, that you are our everything. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, just for the grace and mercy of this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, just for your presence in our lives. We thank you, O God, because if we've made it to this point, O God, Heavenly Father, we are certainly the very benefactors, O God, of today's mercy, O God. So we praise and we glorify you, O God, for bringing us thus far. We thank you, O God, for bringing us to this point in the day, O God, another opportunity to come face to face with you in your word, O God. So we just pray right now, O God, speak to our hearts the very things that you will to our lives, O God. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God, that your word will be engrafted in us, conform us, shape us, mold us, make us in the likeness of your Son, O God, that our lives might be the very praise of your glory, Lord God. I pray personally, Lord God, that you would crucify my flesh. Heavenly Father, that you would purge me, O God, of everything, O God, that I've seen, I've heard, I've felt, I've thought, even in throughout this day, O God. Heavenly Father, set my heart's attention and focus and affection on you, O God. Heavenly Father, that you might be glorified in this time. Speak to us, O God. Speak to us expressly. Speak to us intentionally, O God. Heavenly Father, and be glorified. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Would you mind reading the first seven verses of this Philippians chapter 3?
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Verses 7 through 14.
But what things were gained to me, those I count for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. 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 We thank God for the word. We thank God for for this chapter. And we thank God for Paul in writing of this chapter. What we want to really kind of deal with, talk about this month, focusing this chapter, is our I'm going to talk about our pursuit for intimate fellowship with Christ. Really, that is what our focus is going to be in this month. Enemy is using this COVID space in this time to really try to break up the fellowship. And I thank God for that, the fact that technology can bring us together, that we can be together by use of technology. Amen. Pursuit for intimate fellowship with Christ. This Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. So, you know, what we want to say or really kind of focus on here when we talk about, like, as believers, as children of God, like, our soul's desire, our soul, first of all, it is our soul's desire, right? Our focus, our desire, our object, the object of our pursuit should be Christ. And not just because the preacher says so, right? Or not just because we think it's the right thing to do. In reality, listen, there should be a longing in the heart and in the soul of the believer to want to get close to Christ. Once we're saved, once we've come into contact with the love of Christ, the message, the good news, the message of this gospel whereby we recognize and realize this great love that Christ has for us, amen, and the lengths that he went to pursue and redeem us, it really ought to produce in the heart and in the spirit, amen, in the life of the believer, a desire to seek Christ where he becomes the very object of our pursuit. And the good news, and we'll get into it in a second, the good news about that is the fact that, you know, him being the object, or him being, when I say the object being, he's the only thing we're seeking after, right? The good thing about that is all things are in Christ. So when our heart, when he sets in our heart, right, this desire for him through an overwhelming love, right? Because we've fallen in love. We fall in love. And that's why we say all the time, if you're a believer, you ought to be in love with Christ. And it ought to start with the love of Christ. Amen. And if we're truly in love with him, we want to be where he is. We want to be with him. We want to be in commune and fellowship, right? And relationship with Jesus Christ. And it should be our heart's desire, and our heart's focus, and our objective. The objective, amen, as Paul says in this third chapter of Philippians, to win Christ, to win him. Amen. Amen. So if there's somebody, if I can get three people, if there are three people, you don't have to show yourself, but if you're willing to come off mute, and I get somebody to read Psalms 42, verse 1, and I get somebody else, a second person, to find Psalms 27, verse 4, can I get a third person to find Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and then finally a fourth person, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Who has Psalms 42:1?
Psalms 42:1. Mm-hmm. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
Amen. As the hart, or as the deer, right? Right? Panteth after the water brooks. so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And here you hear the very heart of the psalmist, right? He talks about a pen. He's talking about, it's not just a, you know, I was thirsty a minute ago, partly because my throat is dry and I needed some water, but there's not a pen. He's thirsting, right? His soul is deprived. He recognizes a need, a deficiency, a desperate need and a deficiency in his soul for the Lord, right? And so he says, as the deer pants after the water brook, because he's been running, he's been chased by the enemy, right? He says, so does my soul panteth, it thirsts after thee. I recognize, because in verse 3 he says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Because he recognizes a need. He recognizes a deficiency. He recognizes the fact that there's something missing. And listen, and that's all of our testimonies. Amen. Living a life absent of Christ, right? Filling ourselves with the things of the world, creating a wormhole in our souls, a greater deficiency. Because listen, this carnal flesh, our carnal minds, they're insatiable. You can't please them. The more you give the flesh, the more it craves, the more it wants. And by the time we hear this message of the gospel and we come to Christ Jesus, we're at a place of tremendous deficiency, right? And we recognize, you know, because we've repented and we recognize that there's something missing and we need the Lord and we need him to fill. And we get to this place. We've come to this place where we say, listen, as the deer pants, as the deer is thirsty, as the deer is desperate, right, for this water, so does my soul. Listen, when Christ reveals himself to us and we see, like the Bible says, come everyone, taste and see the Lord, that he is good, and we see the goodness of the Lord after we've totally made a mess. And I ain't got to talk about nobody else. I could talk about myself. After we've totally made a mess of our lives, after we've totally run roughshod over ourselves, after we've wrecked and ruined ourselves, right? Coming into contact with Christ and recognizing that he is the great fixer. He's the one who has what we've needed this whole time. We're just like the psalmist here, as the deer pants for the water brook. So does my soul. It thirsts. It's desperate. And that's, listen, the life of the believer, that's where we got to be. We're going to get into it later, but listen, we've got to get our attention off of all this other stuff and get our attention on Christ Jesus and all the wonderful and the wonderful blessings that he has for us. Who has Psalms 27, verse 4?
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple.
Amen. Listen, and that's what we're talking about, right? What did David say? He said, one of the things I want the most.
Mm-hmm.
He said, one of the things in my top five. Is that what he said? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He said one thing mm-hmm. I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek. That will I set my heart's desire. That will I set. That will I pursue, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That house, what is that house? Is that house a place? Who is the tabernacle? He's the tabernacle, right? Right? It's Christ he's talking about, that I may dwell,
that I may take my rightful position, the position that, that God had laid aside for me, my position in God through Christ Jesus, my position in Christ, right? Of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, right? And to inquire in his temple, talking about the glory of God, the fellowship that we have. He's talking about the very fulfillment that we have in Christ Jesus. This is our pursuit, because listen, we've sought and chased and pursued so many things, right? And listen, you tell me one of, can I, if one person on this line can tell me that they've been satisfied, completely satisfied by the, by anything other than Christ, listen, I love to hear it. I wouldn't believe it, but you know, I'd love for you to try to convince me of that very fact, because he is our satisfaction. He is our fulfillment. And this is what David, and this is what David was in pursuit of. And even in this next verse, Matthew 6:33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're talking about pursuit. We're talking about intimate pursuit. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what will happen?
All good things shall be added unto you.
All these things shall be added. All what things? What things? What things is he talking about?
All things.
All things. He's talking about fulfillment. This is what we're talking about. When we talk about this intimate fellowship with Christ, we're talking about the purpose of God, right? We're talking about the very reason, the sole purpose that he sent Christ to redeem us, to bring us back into himself, right? To himself, that he might complete and fulfill us. So when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God is Christ. The kingdom of God is our fellowship with Christ. The kingdom of God is our rightful position in Christ Jesus, who is the very kingdom of God. He's the fulfillment of the very plan of God and the purpose of God. And when we seek him, and he says, seek ye first, really what he's saying is seek him only. When you seek him first, right? And his righteousness, and we'll talk about that in a second. He says, all these things will be added to you. In other words, if he is our hearts and our souls' pursuit, right? Once we're in Christ Jesus, all of our needs are met. We are completely and utterly satisfied in Christ, because Christ is the fulfillment of all things. We don't even got to turn to it. This Colossians 1:19, what he says is, for it pleased the Father that in him that all fullness would dwell. In other words, Christ was the totality of the very deity, of the very power, of the very authority of God himself. In other words, all of God was in Christ. And when we have Christ, we have everything, right? So if you go further in this next chapter, in Colossians in chapter 2, when he says that for Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, right? To what I just said, all of God was in all of Christ. Where is Christ, y'all? Where is Christ living upon salvation? Where is he? Through his spirit. He's in us. Yes. So if all of God was in all of Christ, and all of Christ is in us, then we have the fullness of God. Listen, our faith just has to catch up. And this is really what Paul is dealing with, right? And we'll talk about it later, and we'll reiterate it later, but I'll say it right now. When we look later down in this passage of scripture, in this text, when he talks about that I may apprehend what I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus, meaning that, listen, we're saved, right? Christ has us, right? We have Christ in us, but that apprehension is an apprehension of faith. It is our faith catching up and believing wholeheartedly in what Christ says that we have. Every single covenant promise that Christ has made us is fulfilled in Christ. And Christ is living in us. So we have the promises of God. We have all of Christ. We have all of the covenant promise. We have all of the blessings of God. We have the fulfillment. We have the totality. We have his authority. We have all of Christ living in us. Our faith has got to catch up. Our faith has got to wrap itself around what God has said, to know in our heart that what God says is true, and to walk in it by faith and be obedient is the very process of fulfillment of Christ's life, being made manifest even through our very lives. And this is what Paul's desire was, even in this text, even in this chapter 3, when that I might apprehend, that I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize for the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. It's Christ himself. This is what his pursuit was. This is what his desire was. This was the one thing that David was talking about. This is what the writer of Psalms 42 was talking about when he said, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so does my soul panteth after thee. It's the same thing. This is what he was seeking. This is what they were pursuing. They're all talking about the same thing. It's Christ Jesus, because he's the fulfillment of all things. It's all about him. I come in the volume of the book. Amen. Man, from the beginning to the end, this very thing is talking about Christ Jesus. It's this whole plan of salvation was all about us getting yoked up in fellowship, in one, in agreement, in a loving and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. This is what Paul is dealing with here. This is what we're going to be talking about even this month. So when we look at this third chapter of Philippians, we know that Paul wrote it, right? We know that he wrote this book of Philippians. This is one of the epistles, right? He wrote it from a Roman dungeon. He was just spilling out his heart, and he was instructing, amen, and encouraging. And it's funny, he in jail, he's doing the encouraging. That's what a healthy appetite, a healthy thirst and pursuit after Christ will do. You can be in the worst situation in the world. Amen. You can be down. You can be down on your worst luck or whatever. Not that there's such a thing as luck, right? You can be in a bad position. But I'm telling you right now, the life of Christ, this intimate relationship with Christ, his life in us will be manifest, where it does not matter what your condition is. Your position will speak volumes to those who are around you, and you will be an encouragement to other people. Paul was in a Roman dungeon. And guess what, y'all? Bucks, Greatifer, what's that one? Over, they closed it down in San Francisco, whatever it's called. Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. Those places are country clubs compared to these Roman dungeons. Because that's exactly what they were. But yet here Paul is penning this book of Philippians and encouraging the Philippian church. That's the power of God. That's the love of Christ. It will blind you to your situation, because your heart, just what did he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because your heart's focus is on Christ and your pursuit for fellowship with Christ. Amen. He will make you oblivious to the hardships of the things that you go through. You won't have a clue what's going on in these United States. Corona what? Social injustice who? I'm telling you, when we get our hearts fixed on Christ Jesus, and this is how I believe Paul could write these epistles. even from a Roman dungeon because his heart was fixed on Christ Jesus. And he had a special place in his heart for this Philippian church. He loved the Philippian church because they were a wonderful encouragement to him. And he had us, he helped to plant this church in Philippi. And it was crazy because Paul experienced some of his worst calamity and tribulation in Philippi. He was put in stocks in Philippi. But yet the people, the church that he planted were such a blessing to him. He had a wonderful affection for this church, for these people. And he sent this letter, amen, as a point of instruction. It wasn't like his experience with the folks in Corinthians, right? The Philippi, the church of Philippi was a much different story. But when you break down this chapter 3, amen, or at least these first 14 verses, Paul cautions the church of Philippi against the Judaizers, or what he called the concision, right? They called themselves the circumcision, but he called themselves the concision because they were mutilators, and they were preaching this doctrine that to folks, they were Jews who accepted Christ, but were telling people in order to truly be saved, you had to be circumcised, which is not true. And Paul let them know that those who truly love Christ, we have a circumcision of the heart, mm-hmm. Our hearts. And you hear Pastor Wright talk about your heart being broken. You hear Minister Tobert talking about our hearts being broken. You hear us talking about this word being engrafted in our heart. That's the circumcision of the heart. That's the cutting of the heart that the word must do. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about a lot of this as we move forward. But then Paul also, in verses 4-6, he goes through his qualifications because Paul was highly qualified. Paul was highly qualified, not just to preach this gospel, but when you talk about status amongst Jews, because these Judaizers, they were puffed up, right? In their status as Jews, and they were telling Gentiles, you could be saved, you can come to salvation, but you gotta do this, you gotta do that. But they were always at this place where they wanted to hold their position as Jews over Gentiles because they just thought that they were better. And we come to Christ, it's not about that stuff anymore, right? And Paul let them know, listen, if anybody got a reason to brag about who they are, their status, where they come from, or their position, it's me. But he wasn't doing that to brag, right? He was setting them up to let them know this very next thing. Listen, all that I am, all that I've acquired, all that I've accomplished, all that I've achieved in my life, I denounce all those things because those things don't hold a candle. Those things don't hold a candle when I think about in comparison to the excellency of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, y'all, again, and we're going to talk about this stuff. When our heart's focus is on Christ Jesus, this other stuff will become of no consequence. This other stuff just won't matter. It won't matter. And guess what, y'all? We'll see this stuff. We'll see all this stuff for what it truly is. Temporal, right? Right? We'll see this stuff for its true value. We'll see the fact that this stuff, this everything but Christ, but this word, but Christ expires. It breaks. It runs out. It leaves. It dies, right? Only Christ. Only Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one. And so he denounced and rejected all that he accomplished in verses 7 and 8. And then, his focus turned from verses 8-14 about just his pursuit. His pursuit, how he might win Christ by any means, how he might go about winning, apprehending the very thing that had a hold of him. And ain't that wonderful? Listen, when you think about the love of Christ, when we think about Christ's love, y'all, I'll say me. I'm raggedy. I'm a hot mess. I was praying this morning in the Lord, man, and I'm just in the wake of this morning's meditation when we all woke up this morning and we started the word off in the book of Proverbs. I thank God for it so much because we come face to face with the glory of God through his word. And it what it did was reveal that much more how much of a wretch I am. So you know, we got finished. My wife went out the door for work and I got on my knees and I just began to pray to God because I saw myself in the reflection of that mirror, in reflection of who Christ is, right? And I saw how much of a mess I am. But, you know, at the same time, right, the word will encourage you and you can rejoice and begin to praise God for the fact that despite all of that, guess what? He pursued us. Do you know that listen, it's that state. It was in that place, in that condition that Christ pursued. He didn't pursue you in your saved and sanctified, as your saved and sanctified self. And guess what? Even in salvation, we still ain't worth nothing without Christ, right? Yeah. It was when we were our worst. What does he tell us in Romans 8, chapter 5? He said, when we were yet without strength, in due time.
Due time.
Right? Christ did what? He died
for the ungodly.
That's us. He was talking about us. He died for the ungodly. And guess what? And I said it on Sunday. He said, in due time. He said, that was the most opportune time. That was the most appropriate time. That was the perfect time. Listen, he didn't wait for us to get it together because you know what? And we still ain't got it together. But if we so happened to think we had it together and he pursued us, we'd be thinking he pursued us because we had it together. Mm. We'd be sitting back talking about, well, you know, why wouldn't he pursue me? I'm all that. You know? We
got it going, you know, on.
Exactly. And there was nothing cute. There was nothing cuddly. There was nothing desirous of us that anybody would want. He goes on in that same chapter, Romans 8, chapter 5, to tell us, he said, for scarcely would one die for a righteous man. And then he says, even peradventure, or even less likely, would one die for a good man. And we were none of those. Oops, drop my word. And we were none of those, right? Hmm. What did he say? He said, but Christ commended a, he commended, listen, he sent a love. Listen, we got to understand this. He sought out a love. Christ sent his love to pursue us. It wasn't just him, but it was his love that pursued. And he sent his love forward throughout eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, he sent his love to go and get us. He commended a love. He authorized a love, right? And he sent it out for us to go and capture us, to get our attention, that we might turn our hearts to him. So when he says that I might be apprehended of that I've been apprehended of, we've got to know he sent a love to capture us, mm-hmm. to apprehend us, to go get us, to show us, right? How much he loves us so that we would then in turn see that love and be convinced. And that's why Paul can say, listen, that I might apprehend, that I might capture. This is my desire, that I might capture the very thing that has apprehended me. This is the love of Christ, y'all.
Amen.
This is God's love for y'all. We are so blessed. We are, when I tell you the honor, the privilege that has been bestowed upon us, when John said, what manner of love, he couldn't understand. What manner of love is this?
Man.
You would call me a son? Seriously? And I thank God for that. I thank God. And that's what we need to be reminded of in these in these evil days, in this time, in this messed up, jacked up world, we need to be reminded of this love. That listen, because it's easy to get your attention. This world, and we're going to get into it, this world has a way of taking our attention off of Christ, off of the things of God. Even, and I'm not ashamed to admit, I'll tell the truth, and I, man, my heart was just crying out to God. Because you ever been down on your knees and praying to God? In 1 minute, you're just as focused as you can be. Mm-hmm. In the next minute, your mind is wandered, and you've not even realized your mind is wandered. Mm-hmm. And so many times I'm getting down, I'm on my knees, and I'm praying to God, and my mind will start to wander on the day. Mm-hmm. In the things I need to do with the day. Most 9 times out of 10, there's something going on at my job that I got to take care of. Right?
Amen.
And it's so easy. It's so easy. And that's why, y'all, we've got to be grounded. Mm-hmm. And that's why Paul's prayer was, what was his prayer? That we'd be strengthened with might in the inner man. Yeah. That we'd be rooted and grounded in love. That we might be able to comprehend with all the saints what? The great dimensions, how much Christ has loved us. The great dimensions of his love. What is the depth, the length, the height, right? And to know the love of Christ, to know this love that passes our carnal knowledge, that passes our carnal mind, that passes our own ability to comprehend it, right? That passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is, we've got to, and we're going to talk about this. We'll talk about this as we move forward in this month. But let's, in the last 10 minutes or so, we're not going to get to the second thing, but let's talk about the saturation of God's word. The saturation of God's word. Because listen, if we're going to be children, and if we're going to have a laser type of focus in this intentional and deliberate pursuit of the heart for Christ, we've got to be saturated in God's word. There's got to be a saturation of God's word. And do you know why? Because of what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about distractions in this world? Listen, let's look at this verse 1. Verse 1 in our focus text. Philippians. Listen to what Paul says to the Philippian church in this first verse. He says, finally, my brethren, he says, rejoice in the Lord, right? But look at what he says. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. I don't mind it at all, he said. But for you, it is safe. What is Paul saying to us? Paul is saying, listen, this message that I'm preaching, it's on repeat. I'm telling you the same things that I've been telling you. And some of y'all, man, I can see your spiritual eyes rolling sometimes when Pastor Wright gets up and talks about crucifixion, right? Right? When Minister Tolbert gets up, amen, and he talks about this need for forgiveness. Right? Minister Williams gets up and he talks about the need for us to die. And all these messages are interchangeable because we all preach them. Right? I can see the spiritual eyes rolling and people wondering, well, why don't they talk about something else?
Jesus.
Why don't they talk about something? Because we can't afford to. Because first of all, this is foundational, and nothing else really applies unless you can get this stuff. But secondly, we've got to repeat these things because guess what? Our carnal mind rejects this stuff. And listen, the carnal mind would rather hear what the world has to say or would rather hear a surface message that doesn't strike a chord to the heart. It would rather hear a lie than the truth. And Paul knew this. That's why Paul said to write these same things to you indeed is not great. He's like, listen, I could care less if y'all don't want to hear it over and over again. I'm going to tell you over and over again. It's not grievous for me. No sweat off my back, because I know this is what the Lord wants, right? He says, not only that, it's not only not a problem for me to do it, but listen, it's for your safety. Do you see that? Look what he said. He says, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. I've got to pursue. I've got to. Listen, we got this record player. We got this CD player on repeat. Because it's got to get in our souls. There's got to be a saturation of the principles of this gospel in our hearts, or else we'll have absolutely nothing to stand on. Some people want preachers and teachers to come in and just say this little thing. It's okay to say it a little, it's okay to talk about death every once in a while. Why you got to talk about it all the time? It's okay to talk about this every once in a while. Why don't you sprinkle in a little bit of breakthrough season and harvest in that message? Why don't you talk about I'm going to get my blessing? Why don't you talk about just giving some praise and everything is going to be all right? Because until we've been replaced, until we understand that our purpose is to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, none of that stuff is of any, first of all, none of that stuff on its own is any benefit anyway. But even some of the other stuff is of no benefit unless we understand our purpose. Listen, our purpose is to, do you know that our purpose is to die? Do you know that? That was his purpose, and that's our purpose. He died that we might live, and we got to die so that he might live, because he won't be manifest otherwise. He's got to be manifest. And so we've got to understand that foundationally. Some of these things that we're harping on, we've got to harp on, because if we don't, listen, you'll walk away, and you won't give it a second. You won't give it a second thought. That's why meditation on the word of God is so important. We talk about Psalms 1, right? Blessed is the man walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of the sinner, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But where's his delight, y'all?
The law of the Lord.
His delight is in the law. Yes, it's in the word of God. And not only does he walk around talking about, oh, my delight is in the word. My delight is in the word. I just love the word. He shows it by doing what?
Studying the word.
Meditating. What does he say? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he do what?
Meditate.
Listen, we've got to meditate. This is wonderful. I love Bible study. Man, when I tell you what a blessing Minister Tolbert was last month and part of this month and what he was dealing with, my soul was rejoicing. I would leave that call overjoyed. But let me tell you something. I could leave that call overjoyed all I want to if I don't go back and meditate,
amen,
on what he was dealing with. Then listen, it'll be good for my encouragement for a time. But the word has no staying power. It has no application power outside of me digesting this word.
Yeah.
You know what it's like, y'all? After I'm done here, I'm going to go eat something. Now, I ain't trying to gross nobody out, but it's like, what good is the food if I get it, put it in my mouth, chew it and spit it out? I don't get any of the nutrients of the food because it's not making its way to my digestive system. Therefore, it's not going to, you know, the nutrients are not going to make its way through my bloodstream. It's not going to make its way to, you know, it's not going to oxygenate my cells and all that good stuff. I'm trying to talk science. I ain't really good at it. We need Debbie for that, right? Not going to do it. I've got to digest my food in order for it to be of benefit to my body. We've got to digest the word of God. And I'm telling you right now, if you're going to church and you're sitting and listening to sermons, no matter how good those sermons are, and you're walking out of the building on cloud nine, but you're not going back and following up in the word and meditating at some level on the word of God, I'm telling you right now, you are chewing your food and you're spitting it out. And it's not benefiting you. It'll benefit you from a time. You might even be able to quote it. And somebody on Monday on your job might ask you, well, what's the preacher preach about? Well, I could tell you. But I bet you one thing, you can tell them real good, but can you show them? Because I'm telling you, without meditation, without the word taking its place in us and replacing us, we won't obey consistently. We won't obey consistently. So we've got to be saturated in this word. And that's why Paul didn't mind. He said, listen, he said, man, for me to tell you this stuff over and over again, my pleasure. Pastor Wright saying the same thing. For me to tell you the same thing. You know, people leave churches because preachers preach the same thing. You know that? Carnal people, carnal Christians. I'm not saying, listen, he don't preach the same sermon. But the same principles still apply. It's the same principles. And people will get upset in the church and say, oh, I ain't being fed because this man keeps saying the same. I'm tired of hearing about that. And you set yourself up for failure. Because the word's not taking hold. Because listen, you want to talk about the omniscient wisdom of God? See, our problem is we're so linear with it. You know, we want the word taught and preached to us the same way that we read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible in a year. Listen, I'm not trying to tell nobody don't read the Bible in a year. You might get something out of it. But listen, God doesn't speak to us this way.
Amen.
If you're looking at what I'm doing right now, God speaks to us this way.
Amen.
There's a depth. The depth of God's word. He wants to reveal the depth of his word to us. That's the omniscient wisdom of God. That's how you can take one scripture and you can read it and meditate on it and come back to that same scripture months or weeks later and God give you fresh revelation and he will illuminate that word in a way where it will never contradict what he showed you before, but it will build on top of what he showed you before. And that's why you got to know. Paul said, I'm never going to get tired. I'm never going to get tired of telling you these things because it is good for us. It is for our safety. It is for our safety. And we can't escape God's word. Listen, if we're seeking intimacy with God, if we're seeking intimacy with God through Christ Jesus, there's only one way. That's through his word. That is through his word. Y'all give me about 5 to 7, 10 more minutes. We'll be done, right? Hebrews. Somebody turn to Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. And then somebody else turn to St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Who has Hebrews 1:1-3?
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen. Amen. Listen to this. What is Paul saying here? Look, he said, God, and I love this verse, and Minister Tolbert talks about this verse all the time. He says, God, who in sundry times, who in various times over history, and in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by how? By prophets, right? And they didn't have the word, right? They didn't have the word in those days. That's why you better be careful. Y'all sitting up under some of these so-called prophets and apostles. We better be careful, right? Has in these days, these last days, spoken unto us by how?
His son.
By his son, right? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And so what are we talking about here? We're talking about seeking Christ, right? And as part of our seeking intimate fellowship and relationship, right? This communication, this connection, the way we communication is just not one way. It's two way, right? It's two ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to have a relationship with you, we're going to have a relationship with one another. I can't sit here and do all the talk. Right. Or you can't sit and do all the talking. There's got to be. So Christ has to. So even in our pursuit of Christ, right? It's not just we're seeking Christ through his word, but he's got to speak something to us. He's got to speak to us. He's got to reveal himself to us. And so what Paul is saying is, like, back in the day, this is how he spoke to us. Now, this is how he's speaking to us. He's speaking to us how? Through his son. He makes it clear. When he says his son, he's talking about his word, because his son is his word, right? Look at what it says. He says, whom he hath in these days spoken unto us by his son, Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. But listen, by whom also he had done what, y'all?
Made the world.
And how did he make the worlds?
He spoke.
He made the worlds through his word. Not only is he made the world through his word, but he keeps it all together through his word. Look, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the what?
Word of his power.
By the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It's his word. And so if we're going to have intimate fellowship with God, we got to pursue him. And if we're going to pursue him, we can't go around the word of, that was a song, right?
Yeah, right.
Can't go around the word, right? We can't go around the word of God. But guess what, y'all? I'm sad to report, in so many churches, people are avoid the word. What do we say? The word is on the shelf.
That's it.
People don't want the word of God. People don't want the truth of God. People are just satisfied with being acquainted with him.
Mm.
People just want to know of, they don't want to know him. They want to know of him. They want the preacher to tell them a story about God. They don't want to seek him for themselves. And guess what? Last time I checked, when I know somebody through somebody else, I really don't know them.
Exactly.
I'm only acquainted with them.
Yeah.
I know plenty of people through other people, but I don't really know them. I only know what I hear about them. Yeah. Christ did not die for you to hear about him.
Mm.
He died. He pursued us through the cross that we might know him intimately. We got to seek him for ourselves, which means we got to get in the word of God. You can't go. We can't go around. We can't. That's why I'm so glad. Listen, and I'm not bragging on Community Baptist Church, because every church has its issues. But I thank God for a church whose sole focus is the word of God. Who's not who Paul talked about in Romans chapter 10.
Yes.
Brother, heart, desire, and prayer for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Romans 10.
That they might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal. A lot of people got a zeal for God.
Yeah.
But it's not according to what?
Knowledge.
That knowledge really is knowledge. It's not according to relationship.
Mm.
Right? Right? Why? Because man, the righteousness of God, they They want nothing to do with it. And so because they've not submitted to the righteousness of God, in other words, the work of Christ, right, to become our righteousness, the denouncement of self in Christ being our everything, and you only discover that through the word. What do? We go about establishing our own righteousness. We go about making this thing up as we go, because we have no knowledge. We have no relationship. The word of God is not relational. Why? Because it's on the shelf. Might be in your head. It might be in the book. You might read it and put it out there in the air, but it's not in the place where it's meant to be, and that's in the heart. This word has got to get in our heart. That's why Paul said it's with the heart.
Come on.
Man believes unto righteousness.
That's it.
This word has got to get in our heart. It's got to get all the way down. It's got to get in our heart and do the work of reclamation. Who had John 1:1-3?
In the beginning was the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Amen. Right? In the beginning was the word. The word. The word was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the word was with God, and the word was God. Right? Right? But then, and then, can you read that verse 14?
And the word was made flesh.
Uh-huh.
Among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. Amen. And so here we go. The same point we made in Hebrews, the same point we make now. We can't pursue Christ outside of his word. And so many people, we just want to focus. We've got this image of God, of this, I don't care. Some people call him white, some people call him black. I could care less, right? But we have this image of this man, right? And we want to, and we chase after the man. Don't get me wrong. I love the man, Jesus. But he's so much more than the man. Before he was the man, Christ, he was the word. Eternally. The Bible says in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And then he took the word, and the word became flesh.
Yeah.
So before, in that flesh, and we beheld his glory, which was who? Christ Jesus. So before the word had the name Christ, he was always the word that was with God from the very beginning. And if we're going to know this Christ, we've got to seek him through his word.
Amen.
We've got to know who he was from everlasting to everlasting. We've got to look beyond what we've seen carnally, and we've got to see the eternality of the very person of Christ Jesus. But there's only one way, y'all. That's through his word.
That's it.
That's through the word of God. And then this last thing, we're done in about 2 more minutes, right? We'll get through this. Why is it so important for us to be saturated in the word of God? For our pursuit, absolutely, so that we don't get derailed.
Yes.
You know why, y'all? You know why Paul had to say for me it's not grievous, for you it is safe that I repeat myself? Because this world has a message. The message of the Antichrist is on repeat.
Yes.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
We are constantly bombarded and exposed with the messages of the Antichrist, everything that is not of God, to the point where, and I'm going to say it, to the point where we think we accept any and everything in the church. We look at stuff and the standard of what is right and what is good has been brought down. Because of this repeating message. And we think the lesser of two evils is good. I'm here to let you know that the lesser of two evils is still evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't going to go into detail about what I'm talking about. All I'm telling everybody here is we need to get our hearts fixed on Christ Jesus. He's the only one who can deliver us. He's the only one you want to talk about bringing people together. He's the only one who can do it. There's not a man in an office or anywhere else that can heal what's going on in this world. And I see so many people talking about, and I hope, you know, sorry if I'm hurting somebody's feelings. I see so many people talking about, oh, it's a new beginning, it's a new dawn, it's a new day. The Bible does not tell us that.
Man.
And the Bible does not tell us that there's a single man or an office or a government or an institution that can get us there.
Man.
We better get our eyes on Christ Jesus. I'm telling you right now. We better get our eyes, because what's going to happen is we're going to be disappointed. Because that's what this world does. It's nothing against nobody. I just know a man can't do what God can do. Mm-hmm. And our faith has got to be on Christ Jesus. And if this government falls apart, our faith has still got to be on Christ Jesus. And our attention has got to be on Christ Jesus. And it can't be, I don't care, black, blue, red, brown, wonderful. Thank God. Yes, progress. Okay. What does it profit a man to gain this whole world and still lose his soul? You got it. You know why, y'all? Because it's so easy to get distracted from what this says.
Yeah.
To where we think the logic of this world and we think the good of this world is, we think the good of this world is righteous and holy, and it's not. It's still the world. Only what God says. Only what he says. Only what he has for us is for us. Everything else. And that's the thing. The promise. And this is nothing against Biden. I personally like President Biden. I certainly like him better than what we had. I voted for him. But listen, the promise of any government, that's not our kingdom.
Man.
We are children of the kingdom of God. The promise of the government can never deliver and satisfy what we're panting for.
That's it.
Man.
Come on.
Which can only be delivered through Christ Jesus. A man can't do it.
Man.
I'm sorry.
That's it.
And I'm telling y'all, listen. Yeah, no, because listen. Somebody already upset. We better listen. We've got to understand how the world works, y'all. We have to understand how the enemy sets stuff up. And it's a setup. I'm telling you, we're being set. No, we ain't being set up by Joe Biden. Like I said, I like Joe Biden. But I'm talking about a world system.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, y'all? Democrat, Republican, it's all a part of a world system.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a part of a world. It's all a part of the world system. We are pilgrims. Do you know you're a pilgrim?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that that Peter referred to us as aliens? Do you know this is not our home?
Man.
It's not. And the things of this world don't belong to us. Did you see what Paul denounced in this text? Those are all the promises of the kingdom of this world. God has so much better for us. He's waiting. And he's waiting to satisfy us. He is waiting to satisfy us. And there's nothing in this world but the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Solomon said it better. He said, vanities of vanity. All is vanity and vexing. The eye can't be satisfied with the seeing. And the ear cannot be satisfied with the hearing. Impossible, because we can't be set. This ain't our stuff. And as long as we have, and we'll talk about it next week, a change in our value system, As long as our value system is on the things of this world, we're always going to be easily taken off course. We're always going to be easily distracted. We'll always only have our eyes on Christ for a little bit, but they'll always get taken off because our value system has to change. What we value, what we hunger and thirst for has to change. We will never consistently, I'm talking to myself too, we will never consistently pursue Christ Jesus. We'll never walk in the abundance of the love and the grace that he wants to show, that he wants to reveal to us. We've got to have our hearts focused on Christ. We're going to stop there. We're going to stop there. Listen. We've got to look at these things through the lens of the Word of God and not through our carnal, because they'll deceive us, y'all. They'll deceive us. Good is good. Don't get me wrong. Great is even great. But good ain't holy. And good ain't righteous. Only holy and righteous is holy and righteous. And those are the things that the Bible speaks. And these are the things that the Bible speaks of, that God speaks of. And those are the things that we've got. What did he say? If ye then be risen with Christ, what are we supposed to do? We ought to seek those things in the way. We ought to seek those things that we see on television. No, right. We ought to seek those things which are above, where Christ, we've got to set our affections on things that are above and things that are what? Not where? Set your affection on things above and not those things that are on the earth. You tell me what's on earth and what's above. That's what, listen, I ain't got this thing down perfect. I'm telling you right now, right? But this is where God wants us. This is where the word is direct. This is where we want to be. Amen. 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 Father God, we thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord God, your grace toward us, oh God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for the treasure of your word. And we thank you, oh God, for the person of Christ Jesus, Lord God, revealed through your word. Heavenly Father, in our prayer on tonight, Lord God, is that you just be revealed to our heart. Help us, oh God, give us a thirst. Give us a desperate pursuit, oh God. Heavenly Father, recognizing, oh God, the very longing of our heart for, Lord God, you said in your word that you had set eternity in our hearts, oh God. You set a desire for you in our hearts, Lord God.
Yes,
Lord God, help us, Lord God, the voice and the craving of the carnal mind, oh God. Heavenly Father, let it be, Lord God, deal with it, oh God, so that we can hear the desperate call of our heart, oh God. That which has been created after you, oh God, to seek you, oh God, to find you, oh God. Heavenly Father, to apprehend that which we've been apprehended of, oh God. Heavenly Father, our prayer right now, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we might seek you while you may be found. Have your way right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and graft your word in our hearts. Make us like your son right now, Father God. Conform us to your likeness, oh God, that we might be the very praise of your glory, oh God. We didn't ask for prayer requests, but Lord God, we thank you in your omnipotence, in your omniscience, in your omnipresence, Lord God. You know what's in our hearts. So even as our hearts are crying, oh God, meet us in our place of need.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, oh God, you know what we need better than we can articulate it. You know, oh God. Yes. Heavenly Father, so we pray that you would get to the crux of our need, oh God, past what we think we need, oh God.
Yes, God.
Heavenly Father, to what you already know that we need, oh God. Heavenly Father, that you would complete the work in us that you started, oh God. Have your way. Have your way in each and every single one of us. Bless every single house that's represented, every family represented on this call, the entire body of believers, oh God. We pray, Lord God, that you will bless us, oh God, with the very blessings that we stand in need of. Praying, Lord God, that you will bless the bereaved families, oh God. Bless and touch the family of Mother Heart right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Heavenly Father, do for them, oh God, what no person, no words, oh God, no card, Heavenly Father, no pat on the back can do, oh God. You, by your Spirit, O God, Lord, reveal yourself to them, Heavenly Father, in a way of love, O God, and comfort, Heavenly Father, that you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, may be their very consolation. Touch them, not only them, the Wilson family right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, and all the bereaved families, those, Lord, the right family, O God. Sister Linda, oh God, in the loss of her husband, Lord God, touch them right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and be with them, Lord God. Pastor Marlon, touch them, oh God, right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Heavenly Father, any those that are sick, those that are going through, oh God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you have your way be revealed, Lord God, in the midst of what they're going through, oh God. Heavenly Father, that there might be a healing, Lord God, inwardly and outwardly. Have your way. Father, we thank you, O God. We praise you. We magnify you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we pray. Amen.